Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hi, Super Mama.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
How is that?
I have to talk about my new obsession.
Oh, tell me why.
So last time I was pregnant, you know how I just went crazy into makeup?
Yes.
And like, I just started like binging makeup videos and like on YouTube. And
that's when you fell in love with Desi Perkins.
Yes. And like, I fell in love with Desi Perkins and I just watched everything and I bought every sort of like thing. I mean, I would find solace in like sitting down and putting my makeup on. And like now I haven't bought a piece of makeup in like a year, and I'm like scraping through every bottle of whatever moisturizer I have in the back, like zero interest. Yo, I'm obsessed with houseplants. Like, I've always liked houseplants. I have a bunch, but like, I've never dug deep.
I need to, because I'm
becoming houseplants. And oh my God, that's all I do every morning. This whole weekend, I have been doing so much research about propagating, which I did, but I never really knew what I was doing. Now I know, which I always did, but you know, I never really knew what I was doing. But now I feel very confident in my propagating game. Propagating basically means taking the plants and creating new plants out of what you already have. So I have like, now I have my proper propagating station now. I mean, you don't really have to have a station, but it's really simple. It's basically a place where you have a bunch of water with leaves, but it sounds nicer than it is. And I like, now I know why some took and some didn't. I'm just excited. Like, and right now, spring is the perfect time to start propagating your plants, which is like right now is the time for your plants to create new babies. So, that's kind of what I've been doing, repotting everything. It's been, you know, I've been like loving Amazon because they've delivered everything so far.
They deliver your like dirt?
Yeah, like dirt. I realized a lot, like a few of my plants that I've had for a very long time needed to get onto a bigger pot. Like I did a video like not so long ago on my Instagram to show people some of the plants I have. And one of the plants was sitting on top of my desk in this pot. And I realized nothing has happened to this plant. And God knows how many years. I've had this plant for 3 years and it looks exactly the same. I water it. It's not dead, but it's not growing. So then I was doing research and I just moved it here. Actually, I'll show you because I moved it to this bigger pot.
Oh, wow.
Which is like, I think it's like four times the size it used to be. It just needed to kind of, so I'm hoping that, you know, in the next year, this little baby will kind of grow with my baby, and will get bigger. And now I'm kind of like starting like using humidity and misting a lot of my plants, cleaning a lot of the leaves. I never cleaned any of the leaves. You know, when I saw kind of like dust, it's just dusty. What's the big deal? But apparently dust prevents your plants to capture sunlight and therefore nutrients and color.
Well, let me tell you what happened to my plants. I remember how it was raining and I was like, I'm gonna put them in the water so they can get watered in the rain. And I didn't even put them long. I put it for like, I don't know. Oh my God.
You put your indoor plants outside in the rain? You could have gotten a bucket, got the rainwater, and then put them inside. Oh my God.
Anyway, but I already got them. I fixed them. They're my babies too. I'm taking care of them. But I'm definitely gonna look into the videos because I'm also propagating without knowing. I have like six of those like babies in water, and a lot of them already have. I think what I need to know is like, when do you repot those? Like when?
So you have some need about 2 inches, others need about 4 inches of roots.
Oh,
you can put them in a pot.
Ready. Mine are super.
Yeah, ready. Yeah. I mean, if you have a bunch of some, you don't even have to repot them. You can just leave them in water if that's what you want to do. But yeah, I replanted like four that had like had roots. And also the way you repot them are different. So like now I'm starting to learn, and I just can't wait to kind of, I think I have like three mom plants, like the ones that I kind of trim more from. Mm-hmm. And the more you trim, the more they grow. And I also got a new plant food, which is my first time trying it. So we'll see how that will work. I've never really like used this one before, this brand. But yeah, I'm just replanting, propagating, like misting, looking at them every day, like just, you know, figuring out where else, what kind of other plants do I want, you know, just.
I bought a bunch of seeds to plant in my backyard and front yard, because I have really good dirt in my home. And
that's good.
Anita potted some nísperos.
Oh, nice. I used to have a tree and Dad cut it off.
Yeah, I have that. And I didn't know they were called lumpquats or something like that.
Kumquats.
And I have two little tiny avocado trees too that I have
to plant. Oh, so exciting.
That's my dream. My dream is for my backyard to be full of trees, and just like go out there and sit under the shade of the trees someday. But
well, you need to start. I look at the trees that we planted when we redid like the backyard, and just like, it really is amazing when you look at photos. And even like in this, one of the plant videos I saw, they said that when you get a plant, you should always take a picture of it, of day one, because you don't realize how much they grow. Like I have these pots in my bedroom, and I never realized like really how much these have grown, because they're here every day and you don't realize it until I was looking at a story, and I realized, I was like, oh my God, this was from last year. And I took a picture of them last year, and like how much they've grown in a year is crazy.
Yeah.
So I think it's just also very important. I mean, what sucks is that like now I look at them every day when my propagating, and they're like, oh, they have roots. Which before I would just put it all of a sudden and be like, did that just grow roots? So without, you know,
yeah,
not being so into it. But yeah, all I want is like new plants. Oh. Like that's all I want. I told my husband, I'm like, cause he was telling me, what do I want from Mother's Day? I'm like, you know what? Plants.
Oh, me too.
Just give me plants. Just get me as many plants. I want like so many plants. I just want to live. I want my bedroom.
Yeah.
And I have more plants in my bedroom now. I didn't really pay. All my plants were upstairs, but now I'm adding a lot of the plants that I'm replanting here in my bedroom, especially cause when the baby comes, I want to put plants in the baby's bedroom, and I know I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the room. So I want to make sure that I'm happy with like every corner, and I'm happy with whatever I see. And I'm happy, like at least like the plants are bringing joy, and they're filtering the air. So yeah, that's my new.
You know, what's my new obsession? Because my hair was just like really crazy. Like it was so oily and it was just nasty during this time. I remember a few years ago, when we stopped using shampoo.
Oh my God. Yeah. When we went through, you guys did, you and Fernando.
Yeah. I stopped using shampoo, and I always remember that my friend told me like, oh, your hair looks so good. What do you do? And I was like, I wash my hair with limon. Like but you have to go through this phase where for like a week, your hair is so greasy and disgusting, like really disgusting. And like, I was like, what better time to do that than now? Honestly, what better time to do that? The whole last week, my hair was like greasy. But now this week, this week I washed my hair yesterday with the limon. And now there's like, it's like probably only like 10% of the greasiness on my hair. It's getting,
there.
Oh yeah. And then now I'm like, okay, this week, that's it. And then my hair is going to go back to being healthy, because it's been because you know, we use so much product. I use so much product in my hair in the past 2 years. I've used more product in my hair in the past 2 years than my whole life. And my hair was getting really, really messed up. So now it's getting better. It's actually getting softer, because I'm only washing it with water and limon, which is weird, But I was like,
maybe I should do that.
I mean, this is the perfect time. We're not going anywhere. We're not doing our hairs. We're not curling. I'm not putting any
part. Yeah, I know. It's just my whole thing is the way it smells, like especially because I cook. And it's like all the grease and all the smoke gets in my hair.
You gotta wait it out.
I know, but then I sleep in my bed, and the next day, and it's, you know, then if it gets in your face,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I'm already past that. The whole week, that's already that. Now, my daughters were like, "Mom, your hair smells nice." I'm like, "Yes, it does. Now it does." So yeah, you gotta wait it out. You have to wait it out. But by next week, it'll be like amazing.
Oh well, good for you.
Yeah.
And brave woman.
I wanted to ask you, because I know I heard that during the interview, you said that you were going to the doctor for your pregnancy. How's that going?
I've gone to one in-person appointment, and I'm going to say why. I was supposed to have two appointments already. I went to the big ultrasound one that I already spoke about, and then one phone call appointment, and then I was due for my second board left for another appointment, and I would have taken a phone appointment, but I've been leaking a lot, a lot. It started with me kind of going through like one liner a day, and now I'm going through like three liners a day, and I started to worry, and you guys all know, like, I've been working out a lot. I even took I took about a week and a half of like no workout because I thought maybe I messed something up, or, you know, there's so many people are just working out on their own, and I always have, but maybe I overdid it this time, especially because, you know, I just really want to be in shape. So I was really worried. Part of me thought maybe it really is just pee, but then I thought, but that's a lot. Like, how am I just like leaking pee? Turns out it's pee. So she looked at my, you know, she looked at my, I just wanted to go for my sake of mine. Like, I'm like, I just wanna you to like go get an ultrasound and just make sure there's enough water fluid there. Like, that's all I care about. Cause other than that, like, aside from like sciatica pain and normal stuff, I feel fine. But she looked at it, she's like, "Oh no, you have a lot. It looks great. You look great. There's no sign of any sort of water depletion." So she referred me to a pelvic floor therapist.
Yeah.
So she said that she doesn't really know if right now that's considered essential or not. But I got the referral, so hopefully I'll get an appointment soon. Because yeah, it's just like, now I understand you.
For me, I went to the therapist too.
Did they? So she told me they put stuff inside you so you can understand when you're actually doing your Kegels correctly.
Yeah.
Do they stick sensors in your vagina?
No, but you have, it's like, you can actually buy those things online. It's like a little ball that you put inside, and you just have to basically hold it in, and you have to not let it go.
She said that they connect things.
Oh, and they didn't connect anything to me, but they showed me different exercises for the pelvic floor for the pee. Yep.
Yeah. So like, now it's like, yeah, it's, if I sneeze, it's like,
oh yeah.
I've never had this problem. And she also told me that the baby was measuring on the bigger side, which scared me. Cause I'm like, oh, I don't want it. I don't want the baby to be too big when it comes out. She asked me, because she said, "How tall is your husband?" And I'm like, "Does that have to do with my pee like coming out or what? Like, what do you mean?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I mean, he's like a couple inches taller than me, but we're, you know, average. He's not like 7 feet or anything." And she's like, "Oh yeah, just your baby's measuring on the bigger side, so, you know, I just thought it was like a big dad." And I'm like,
I mean, is it, Bricia? Is it a big dad?
Shut up. So yeah. So she said that we'll see about, you know, the
but how is like therapy. how is going to appointments during COVID?
I will say, So everyone knows that you and I have Kaiser. Mm-hmm. Again, hashtag not sponsored. It's not. I don't even know how we got Kaiser, to be honest. I don't know who decided on Kaiser. Oh, well, thank you. But Kaiser is amazing. Like, it's pretty freaking great. I mean, I know people have different opinions, and I guess when you get older, it's different. Who knows? But there's nobody at the hospital. Like, before, when I used to go to my appointments, I used to, like, have to get early. And if I had to go get my blood drawn, I knew that would take some time and, you know, just normal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not as bad as other locations. I go to the Pasadena location, so it's always chill. But right now, there's nobody. Like, I'm the only person in the waiting room. I get seen right away.
And is everybody, like, masked up and, like...
No, I mean, it's that everyone has reusable masks, like you and me, nurses. But when you come in, they take your temperature. So you cannot walk into the building unless you're pre-screened. Mm-hmm. And they give you, and then you're pre-screened, they take your temperature in the ear, they ask if you had any symptoms, and if your answer is yes, you're not allowed to go in. There's a drive-through, pull-up kind of emergency, like, urgent care is in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
But urgent care, you get seen in, like, 10 minutes, as opposed to urgent care, you maybe sometimes would have to wait, like, an hour to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like right now, and you wait in your car. Oh, it's like God. The most amazing thing. I'm like,
it's like a drive through hospital.
Yeah. But I think, like, why can't it just be like this all the time where, you know, when you're in urgent, you have to wait there and you have to, like, you know, and everyone's there and everyone's like getting,
yeah.
And then someone's urgent, everyone's in urgent care. Some people are coughing and you're over here bleeding. Oh, there, people are in pain. Like, I don't want to be in this room.
Yeah.
But now you're in your car and you're chilling. You can, like, be watching TV or, you know, TV, whatever, your phone, like, you can be chilling, and then they call you, the nurse comes up. If you need to go, you know, inside for something, they escort you. They, you know, it's pretty great. I mean,
wow. It's not scary.
I have zero. No, not scary at all. And, you know, I mean, obviously we're careful. I have a mask. I have gloves. I have several gloves because every time I go to the visit, I go to the doctor. I mean, I go to the bathroom maybe like four times during my visit. So I have to change.
So this is what I hate about the gloves in the, because I've gone, when I go shopping, I wear my plastic gloves. And every time I need to go to the bathroom, I hate it because they get stuck in my zipper. And then my finger gets ripped and then my zipper gets stuck with the freaking glove. And I'm like, every freaking time my gloves sticks into my zipper.
Oh, I don't have that problem. I just, you know, it's like I take it out, I wash my hands, and I put new gloves on. I take different types. When I go out, I take like four pairs of gloves because I know I have to go to the bathroom four times. But no, it hasn't been scary at all. Everyone seems like nice. And wow. I mean, I know that you, and the thing is that, you know, you see in hospitals, you see how home hospitals are crazy, overcrowded, but mine is not really a hospital. Like, mine's a clinic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to a clinic. I'm not going to a hospital. Now, if I had my appointments in a hospital, I'm pretty sure it would be completely different.
Yeah.
You know, in the clinic.
That's why a lot of people are like, conspiracy theory. There's no one in the clinic. I'm like, yeah, because there are clinics. Like, why would
there be people there? Yeah, no one's getting accepted there. There's no beds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's not, it's not a place where people have, this is a place where it's just, you see a doctor, you don't get admitted where I go to my appointments. It's just basically a clinic. Now, when I give birth,
oh my God,
I will be at a hospital. I'm going to give birth in August. And I'm just praying that by that time, you know, this has kind of
died down.
I'm not hopeful. I don't think that, like, you and my, and, you know, Fernando and Elizabeth will come see me in the hospital. I don't think that's going to be allowed by August. I really, really doubt it. I think it's going to be my husband and I, which I'm cool with because, you know me, I'm very much like, I don't want anyone in the room. So I'm just praying for a healthy delivery so I can come home as soon as possible. Yeah. And not stay in the hospital like as long as I did last time.
Yeah. It's gonna be different. Every birth is so different.
So that's just all, but it's been great.
Since you're already like loosened up, you know, you're already peeing, it's gonna be easy. Boop boop.
You know, I'm just hoping that like this means something. I'm like hopefully like I just like pee, or you know, it's like a hard poop and then it's out and it's like great. Let's go back home.
That's crazy, right? I remember when my gynecologist said, I told her like I'm peeing so much, and she was like, yeah, well let me tell you, she told me the whole analysis of the balloon, when you like blow up a balloon and then you like when it comes down, like it's never the same. And I was like, great, it sucks.
I after this child though, I definitely have to figure out and like really research like if there's some sort of
I have to get surgery. And they already told me.
Yeah.
To
get surgery. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I will 100% get surgery right away. I cannot live like this. This is not a way of life. Like, I try to play with my son outside, and the other day we were outside, and he said, "Okay, mommy, let's do this. We're gonna race three times. You have to do around this. We have to do three laps. And if I win, this happens. And if you win, this happens." I'm like, "Okay, whatever. Like, I know I'm gonna win." We took off, and I was like, "I can't run."
You know what was the worst? One time when my kids, it was a kid's birthday party from the kids, and they brought a jumpy house, like a bouncy house. And I was like, oh my God, so excited. I want to get in the jump house. I went in there and I was like, oh my God, I have to get out. Like I could not jump in the house because I was peeing on myself.
And then I was like ready, and I stopped and I was like, oh honey, my back hurts. I can't. I had to go inside. So my husband, oh my God, I'm really worried. Like I ran and like this gush came out and like I'm scared. And that's when I was like, no, I'm going to the doctor because this is not, turns out it was just pee.
Yeah. No, but also the baby's putting weight on you. So, you know.
Oh yeah. And I feel the baby now so much. Like I feel with Eduardo was so different because I didn't start feeling him until like late in the pregnancy. But now it's just like thrum, thrum, thrum. And then I legit feel the foot going like this into the bladder and the bladder just going like that. And I'm like, why? 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 Why that, there?
You still have to grow like 2 more months, 2.5 months.
More? I mean, do I have, I mean, I have.
July? 20- oh, yeah. May, June. Oh, 3 months.
No, yes, 3 months.
Oh, my God.
I still have 3 months. Which is why I was really worried. I'm like, this is unsustainable. I'm going to have to wear a diaper by the end of this. Like, I'm going to be in full-on pads. Like, I need to upgrade from blinder to a pad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So embarrassing. So sad.
Yeah, babe. All right. Well, who do we have
today? Yeah, we're not here to talk about pee and plans today. We're talking about finances. Money. and overcoming our financial hardships, because we all know that Jesus Christ, she got real really quick. And we have Ramona Ortega, founder of My Money, My Future, who we all love and adore, back on our show, our financial advisor, our financial guru, to talk about ways to save, ways to take advantage of this time to create you know, money for the future, in creating a plan and canceling subscriptions.
There is actually opportunity to grow during this pandemic. There's always an opportunity hiding behind the corner. So she tells us all about it. And when I listened back to it, I took a bunch of notes.
And I think right now there's a lot of people who right now don't have any jobs, who have lost their job. I mean, you know, my sister and I included. You know, it's really have a lot of uncertainty, especially a lot of people who, you know, whether you own or whether you're a business owner or whether you work for a business, you know, there's a lot of time of uncertainty. Yeah. You know, right now it's not the time to go and buy yourself a new Louis Vuitton purse.
Nope.
You know, just know that, you know, even if you have zero income, there's a lot of help right now. Take advantage. stay. I think my biggest advice to every single person is to, you know, spend 30 minutes a day researching programs, ways to apply, following up, calling creditors, like spend time every single day looking through. Because when you look for money, it will find you. I mean, there might be a car that you have a subscription that you don't even care about. I mean, $20 here, $30 there. You know, don't spend that stimulus check on stuff that you are not, you don't need. Save some of the money. Just because you have your checks and you have to spend it, save some of that money. Also donate some of that money. Because when you give, the world will give you more.
Definitely. I think this is the time, a really real reminder that we all need to save. We all need to save money. You know, we have to have some sort of safety net. And this was like a big reminder. So,
For sure.
Get your money straight, people, and take notes. Share this episode with your friends, your tías, your comadres, everybody, because I think it's a lot of good information. And yes, take advantage of the programs, because our people never really are, for some, I don't know why, for fear, por desidia, whatever, we don't take advantage of the programs, and then we are the ones that are left out at the end. So
yeah, for sure.
Go and do it and enjoy this interview with Ramona Ortega.
Ramona Ortega.
My money, my future.
Hi, Supermamas. I know we have talked about our book, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico, in past episodes. The book tells the story of our family's journey from Oaxaca to Los Angeles, and it includes over 100 family recipes. Yes, that includes our OG award-winning mole negro recipe. It would mean the world to us to have your support and have every single one of you order a copy today. You can order Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico today by visiting ilovemole.com/Oaxaca Cookbook. That's ilovemole.com/OAXACA Cookbook. Our book will also be available everywhere books are sold. Thank you so much, mamas. We cannot wait for you to have a copy in your hands.
Hi, Ramona.
Hi. How are you doing? That's like a weird question nowadays, right? But like, how are you? Where are you quarantining? Who are you quarantining with? What part of the world are you at? What's going on? Tell us.
Yes. So I am in Ground Zero. I'm in Brooklyn, literally like near Ground Zero COVID. You know, I've been in New York long enough, though. This is my second Ground Zero moment. Yeah. So I was here during 9/11. You know, I'm in my apartment. I traveled so much last year that I'm so happy to just be inside my home. So I'm doing that. I'm with my son. And to be honest, it's a blessing in disguise. He's graduating this year. He's 18. We just celebrated we're both Aries. So we just had a quarantine birthday party. Nice. And I'm enjoying spending my last year with him.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I know.
He's a man. He's a man.
He's officially 18. So he's really, I'm like, legally, it's all you do.
I know. I was talking to someone yesterday, and that person, you know, he told me something so insightful. And it was a guy, a man. We're talking about what's happening, and he was like, you know, I am really just, this is the time to be with my kids. This is the time to be with my wife, and I'm taking this time to be with them, be together. And he was like, whatever comes later, we'll figure it out. But this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's not going to happen again. It was like, this is not going to happen again. So we have to take advantage of it. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. You know, this is not going to, hopefully this is not going to happen, you know, again.
Yeah. I think it's going to be very similar to when we have kids and we have to stay home and we're like, oh my God, I want to be here with my child. And then you get like, you know, anxiety. And then when that time, that maternity leave time is over, you're like, I should have taken advantage of that time with my baby. I should have done that. I should have rested. Why did I freak out? I think like this is similar to that, right? I mean, I'm assuming.
Totally. I mean, I think that, you know, the world had been needing a reset button. Mm-hmm. I mean, just on everyone's level, I could just see it. And I think once we get, I mean, and to be honest, look, I've been super busy here. So I'm working more now than I think I even was before, just because I'm like, get up and I'm literally in my computer. But I think the ability to have dinner at home every night. I mean, we're cooking. I mean, you guys are, you know this, I follow your menus. You know, it's like there's, I can cook, I can eat, I can hang out with him. We watch movies. We're enjoying comedy together. So, and I'm lucky that we're not, you know, again, I'm super lucky. I have some financial security. I have skills. We're going to be okay. I have family. Yeah. Now, you know, so, but I think at the end of the day, everyone's going to walk away a little bit more resilient. And we're going to figure this out. And especially our communities, communities of color. Look, this is not the first time we've been broke. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I remember a last time I was broke. It was not that long ago. It was only about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, was it 10, right. 12 years ago? 10 years ago. I was.
Yeah.
I was riding the bus. I didn't have a car. I had zero savings.
No, it was less than 10 years ago.
My credit was shit. You know? Right.
It was like,
so, yeah. I still remember that.
Yeah. Like, doing it all over again.
And, you know, and I mean, I think from, like I think we talked about before, that silver lining in all of this, and especially for a company like ours, which is focused on wealth building, focused on getting women and folks of color to really understand their finances. So when this kind of thing happens, mm-hmm. I mean, it's always going to be a shock to your system, period. But it's, yeah. You kind of know where you're at. You know, you have some savings or you have this over here that you can pull on, and you have more, you feel more in control of the little things that you do have control over. And that is really about, that's what financial security is about. It's like, I have control over this because I know how much is here. I know how much I owe. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of sort of just ability to lean in on that is really helpful. And that's what we're all about, is that making sure people understand all of those pieces, how they work together. And I think now is a time for everyone to be like, if you're not there, how do you get there?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think at times like this is when it kind of, it probably gets a little bit more infuriating and frustrated, but I can't help but remind myself, where was I 10 years ago when, you know, obviously you cannot compare both crises, like both were very different. But at the same time, I remember last time how the economy not shut down like this, but I remember the economy was so bad, so bad. I remember the restaurant was open, but we had maybe, you know, 10 people come by a day. Like it was very slow. Right. It took us a very long time to build. We had to permanently close several locations. We had to, you know, downsize our homes. We had to let go of cars. Like there was so much that we had to do mm-hmm. to move forward. And I look where we are today and I just can't help but think, if I was able to grow from here to here, from there to here during that time, where am I going to go from here on? Sure. What did I learn from last time?
Right.
That I'm going to apply to this time.
Right.
And also for those who are starting now, who feel they're at the bottom, it's, well, what can I do? How do we get out of it? So in 10 years, when something like this happens again, because just the cyclical, it's just life. Another economic downturn will happen in the next 10 to 15 years. And it's not like, it's not a, maybe it's a for sure thing. And everybody always tells you that every 10 to 15 years, economy has to adjust. It has to adjust. So what are you going to do? What's your 10-year plan, your 12-year plan, so that next time in 10 years, when this happens again, maybe not a pandemic, but it could be something else, mm-hmm. what will happen mm-hmm. to your, where will your finances be, and how can you not be in this place of financial anxiety, right? And that's what we have you. So what do we have to do?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So what I was thinking is to kind of split this up into two sort of segments. One is focusing right now on people who may not be there, because I want to really acknowledge, yeah, right,
the fact that folks are
struggling, and this is going to be real for a long time. I mean, at least another 8 months of, like, the market will recover, but the economy is going to take a long time to recover. So I want to focus there for like a couple, you know, the first half of this. And then what we'll do is focus on the things that, one, if you have some money, how do you put it to work? Two, what are the next things that you need to be building? We talked about life insurance yesterday really quickly. And so there's some things that you're also not prepared, you might not be prepared for, right?
Right.
And so, like, okay, so let's take it to the next step, so that we're totally prepared for all the things that can happen, right? Mm-hmm. So first things first, if you or just sort of what you need to be doing right now, I kind of have these three basic things. The first one is to do your financial 360. And I know that sounds so lame, but I'm telling you, you need to know where all your money is sitting right now. And so what that entails is try to download 2 months, or the first quarter, if you're acting like a business, look at the first quarter. Where did you spend your money and where are you not spending? So what came in, what went out? And you can use like Clarity or Mint or any of those. Just download your credit card transactions, your bank account transactions, and then categorize them into three main buckets. Your essential needs, like what was rent, insurance, you know, major bills. And then your maybe savings, if you took money out and put it into a retirement or savings. And then everything else is discretionary. And so what you want, a balanced budget essentially, is the no more than 50% is put into or is allocated to fixed costs. 20% should be going to either emergency savings and or retirement. And then 30% is what you can spend on whatever you want. Again, it's not about I'm not about micromanaging your money. It's about prioritizing where you want to spend that money. Do you want to spend it on your hair and nails? Cool. That just means you don't have other money to do other things, right? Mm-hmm. And so taking a look at that, because what's going to happen is that now we're going to also identify anything that's been coming out of your account so you can shut off. I had a bunch of things that came out in April that I was like, I didn't turn those off, right? Automatic payments. Luckily, you know, my gym actually did do that for me. They stopped payments, but there was a bunch of other smaller things, but it totaled about $125 of additional things that I didn't turn off. Subscriptions, renewals. So this is going to allow you to identify those and just turn those off. Like, nothing should be coming out of your bank account right now automatically, because cash is king. So you want to hold on to as much cash as possible. If you have student loans right now and they're federally backed and you got that you're part of the moratorium of like no payments, no interest, you should take that. So stop your student loan payment. See if there's any outstanding bills that you need to pay down right now, right? Whether that's a rent or do you have money in your savings account? If you don't, you could take some of that money right now, since it's basically no interest and there's a pause. Third thing, you need to get on the phone with all of your creditors, especially if you have car payments. Lenders and cars and mortgages, if they're federally backed, are going to give you the best like rates right now. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a couple of days to do this. You literally are going to need to be on the phone for at least a day with different banks, different creditors, and you're going to have to use that negotiation muscle. They don't have to give it to you, remember. But there's obviously...
So your current loan with your car, you can negotiate it again right now with the same companies?
That's right. So there's two things you want to ask for, both from credit cards, mortgages, and or car payments. You want to ask for a lower APR. So you want to lower your interest rate. And or you also want to defer your payments. So what's the next payment? May? You want to say, hey, look, I'm in strapped times. I've been affected by COVID financially, and I'd like to defer May. So without interest. So without interest is the key there. They may not give it to you. So you're asking for three different things. Hopefully you'll get at least one of them. Lower interest rate. Why? Because the federal interest rates are almost zero right now, which means all the financial institutions and the banks get free money. They're borrowing at zero interest. They need to pass some of those savings along to you. They don't have to, but they should. And so they know that. And so people are calling them. I've heard a lot of people get reductions on their car loans. Mortgage also, if you're, if you have a federally backed mortgage, you can ask for a deferment. And you want to make sure that the deferment is interest free. And also if you can tack it onto the back end of your loan so that you're not getting a balloon payment like 3 months from now, that doesn't do any good.
Like
right?
Businesses are.
Exactly. So you want, so, and especially for a lot of Latino families with property, they have renters. And so their income is coming in from renters. And then all of a sudden renters are like, I can't. Then you need to get on the phone because you're the mortgage holder.
Yeah.
Right. So that's key. So those are the things that I would be doing right now. Taking a look at your 360. The other thing that if you download our workbook, and I'll make sure to put it in here as for the link, it's free. It allows you to look at your net worth also, but in it, and so it gives you a sort of a section for credit cards. So you can see which credit cards have your highest interest rate. There's a section on doing your net worth to calculate for your net worth. And then what that really makes you do is actually go and look at all your accounts. So how much do you have in your 401k right now? Do you have any CDs sitting out there somewhere? Do you have, you know, a savings account or a 401k that you can roll over? Okay. So there's a couple of things that you want to know where all that money is sitting. And then in case you need to activate it for cash, because there's a couple of things that came out in the CARES Act that now give you access to that cash in a 401k. Okay. So that's the, let me just make sure I have a list over here.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the, that's
I
it
have
for,
a question. I have a question regarding that one. My husband and I were having a conversation about refinancing our home.
Yes.
Right. Just because what you say, the interest rates are so low. But what point percentage is worth it? You know, if you are, let's say, you know, at a 3.6 and then now you can get a 3.1, is that 0.5 worth it to go through the refinance process?
Right. That's a great question. You kind of need to do a quick Excel sheet. There's not a one answer because it depends on this. It's going to depend on the fees that you're going to pay to refinance. Right.
Got
so
it, yeah.
Remember, it's like usually a couple thousand dollars just to refinance. And then you have to see what if it adds on any years. Right. So are you extending the term of the loan? And then you can plug in what you're saving over time. For a lot of people also, remember, it's going to hit your credit if you do a refinance. Mm-hmm. So you better make sure that your credit is good before you go in to do that. Because the last thing you want to do right now is kind of start messing with your credit score. Now, if it's already, you have a low credit score, you're probably not going to get a refinance loan anyway. I'm just going to, like, that's across the board right now. Even though there's lots of money in financial institutions, they're being very tight. I heard that now they're requiring like a 700 and above for even mortgages because they're all like cash crunched right now.
Yeah.
So, so that's a big one. The other thing is if you do have some cash or you're getting some, maybe your stimulus check or whatever, you know, unfortunately there's not many good high yield savings accounts right now because of the interest rates went down. It also means you're not getting much interest on your savings. So, but you should at least put some cash. If you can try to cover, you know, the ideal number is 3 to 6 months. I'm going to be honest. That's a lot for most people to have.
Yeah.
But you can at least put $2,500 away to get you through another month where you can try to look. Most of us are not spending as much on like happy hour, eating out and doing all kinds of other stuff. So we got a couple, we got at least a couple hundred bucks somewhere in there that we can try to put away. If you don't have
nails.
Oh, I don't do my nails.
Wax, nails, money away.
I like so much information. Let's say I'm a do it yourself girl on all counts. I spend no money on beauty stuff, but it's
okay.
But most of my money goes into food and drink for sure.
Okay, so that's number one and number two. What's the second thing we should be doing, and what else should we be looking at?
Yeah, so that's kind of. It, right now, it doesn't matter sort of what your situation is, but particularly if you're, you know, sort of this is crisis is hitting you hard financially. The second piece of that is figuring out, look, someone might die in your family. Like, people are dying. COVID is, I know, yeah. But no, just like statistically, yeah. Folks are getting hit, right? So you want to start thinking about protection, and this is our estate planning piece, right? So one, if you have additional money, how do you put it to work? Let me just start there for a second. Let's just say you're like, I'm good. I'm single. I got a job. It ain't going anywhere. And I've got $10,000 right now. I want to, you know, it's sitting in a very low interest account, and I have an additional emergency savings. Right now, the markets are like rallying, right? So yes, the 401ks went down. They're already starting to go back up. There is going to be a massive amount of wealth to be made in the stock market over the next year and a half. So if you have money, you can start to put that to work and buy some of these companies that have solid stock that are essentially on sale. Like Apple is on sale. Starbucks stock is on sale. Think of it like that. It's basically at like 25, 50% off right now. Those are going to go up over the next year and a half. So that's an opportunity to put some of that money to work. The second thing is making sure. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to start, because, you know, Latinos, we don't really do that. So if somebody wants to start with, is there like an amount that you would say, okay, start with this much, or, you know, yes. What, because, you know, people get scared and nervous. Like what would be a good amount to start your adventuring?
Right. Right. And let me just clarify, this is outside of your 401ks, which you if you're working, you should be maxing that out and putting as much money and getting the match, right? So this is an additional. You should also have a Roth IRA. That's important. And for folks with kids, perhaps an additional 529 to put some money in there. But in terms of if you just want to be like, I want to play in the market, I want to buy individual stocks. So you go to a Robinhood or something like that. Robinhood, it's pretty good for this. It's no fees. You want to start with like $5 to $1,000, $500 to $1,000. And you want to put, what we do is you don't put all of that $1,000 in one day. You put it in over maybe a week, 2 weeks, right? And so that's called cost dollar averaging, so that you're not buying high or not buying low. If you're averaging out how much you're putting in. That's, by the way, the strategy that you use in your 401k. Every 2 weeks, they take money out and they buy stock with that. So you're buying at all cost points, right?
Yeah.
And so the point is that you want to start with 1,000. Now, again, it also depends on how much you have, right? I mean, if you have $10,000, look, you might want to take 20 to 30% of that and put it to work. There's some stocks that are pretty much like are solid that you're going to make way more than you would sitting in a bank. Right. A bank right now is giving you 1.3, 1.5 max. Okay. That's like it's like $10 or $20 a year, right? You can go and buy some stocks. Let's say you buy a Starbucks or, you know, even an airlines, an American Airlines, for example, they're most likely going to come back. Now it's going to be low, but you're buying low anyway. Right.
Right.
And so the next year, you're probably going to make you're going to definitely make over 5%.
Wow.
So, one of the things that I heard on a podcast was this, for example, and kind of like something that I put to use with exactly with Starbucks. I looked at the history of Starbucks stock from inception to now. Mm-hmm. And it looked like what has the lowest it's ever been.
Sure.
And then I saw what's the highest it's been. And then I looked at like the past like 3 years, 4 years, like the lowest has been the past 4 years. And then there's a way I have a Vanguard account where mm-hmm. you can set buy these many shares at this price. So when it hits this price, buy it. But otherwise, like, I'm not interested. So it's basically yeah. you set it. And all of a sudden, once it goes to that amount, you buy mm-hmm. it without you yep. even doing anything, without having you sit there refreshing your feed every so often.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got the notification, I was like, oh my God, did it really go this low? And I already seen that stock go up a little bit. I mean, it's not like I bought $20,000 or anything, but you know what I mean? Like, it's
yes.
something. And you know, and also know that it's long term, because on the opposite side, I got some shares of Disneyland when it was, I thought it was a low price, and then it just went lower and lower and lower, and I was like, oh my God. So basically, like, it kind of offset my Starbucks stuff. But I know that at the end of the day, in 5 years, like, Disneyland is not going anywhere, guys.
Right.
Like, Disney is not leaving, you know?
That's right. So what you did is essentially, and this is what I do, but I do a little bit more on a daily basis. I'm looking at stuff that you're looking at high and low price. And then it's basically the average. You're figuring out how much can I gain and then how much can I lose? And you kind of take the middle. And then with your losses, by the time you sell those losses, and that's why it's the average, right? So you could have gained 20% and lost 10%. But your average gain is going to be 10, right? 10%.
Right.
Those filters that you're talking about, you can do that on Google Finance, Yahoo Finance,
okay,
or
cool.
Robinhood. And basically, you look for a price point. I like to buy within $50 to $100 price point, right? So that's where my sweet spot is. Right now, what I'm looking at is a one-year past price and then the three-month mark. So because 1 year tells me, what were they? They were at a high. We were at a bull market. Right. So we were at a high. It gives me that sort of high price. And then the 3 months, what have they been doing during COVID? Right. Mm-hmm. So what's been going on? And then also looking at their cash balance sheet. So that's another indicator.
Okay, cool.
So is this a company that has strong sort of cash in the bank, essentially? Right. So the Apples of the world have tons of cash. Even if they have to basically not have any revenue coming in for the next year, they're probably still going to be around, right? So there's things like that you're looking for. And you're learning as you do it. And the set limit is perfect. Like what you said, you can put different things. They can be for a day. So you're like, I want to buy Starbucks at this price for today or forever. And now you just have to.
I believe in my account, you can set it for like up to 60 days. So basically, if at any point in the next 60 days, Starbucks gets to $1, right. You know, you can also set really, you can also set very unrealistic ones that it's like if they hit, you're like, oh, wow, I got another really good price.
Right. Yeah.
So basically, set it and forget it, which really worked personally for me. But even during these times, like, I'm still scared because I just keep thinking, you know, hold on to your cash. But I just keep forgetting it. You should be looking at your money today. Yes, of course, hold on to as much cash as you can, but also save for the next, you know, 5-10 years, because like this money that I'm investing today, I'm not expecting to see it until the next 20 years, right? So it's, what are you doing today to invest in your future and not say, oh, but look, your stocks all went down. Like, yeah, but like, who cares if they went down? Because I look at it as a home, right? Everyone looks at their home and say, well, my home is worth this much. And I always say, but that doesn't matter. Like, the worth of something isn't reality until you sell. So it's not until I sell my house that whatever surplus I have exists. Because my house, the value can go down under, but unless I sell it, it doesn't really matter, right?
Right. Well, yes. I mean, it'll matter when there is what we call a liquidation event, when the taxes hit. So by the way, just a couple to clarify too. So I don't know what kind of account you're using as an investment account. So there's typically three different types of accounts that people will be using. Your retirement account is generally buying ETFs, and index funds. It's safe. And remember, mm-hmm. both a 401k and an IRA are tax deferred, which means you're not being taxed on that right now. You will get taxed on it after 59 and a half when you bring it down, when you withdraw it. What's happening, what you can also do though, is open up a Roth IRA, which I really like, especially for young people. And that allows you to take out the principal. So let's say you put 10,000 in and then it grows over the next 5 years and you got 15,000, you can at any point take the 10,000 and withdraw it without a penalty. That's why I like the Roth account. And then there's a brokerage account. And I don't know, that might be where you're buying those shares right now. Generally, that's where you buy individual shares. A brokerage account has no tax, like you're not getting any tax benefit for a retirement account. It's not a retirement account, but remember, you're going to pay capital gains. Okay. So mm-hmm. that's short term and long term. Short term is under a year. So I recommend whenever you buy stock, plan to hold it for at least 1 year. So on 365 plus one, you can sell that stock and you're going to get taxed at a lower rate than you would if you didn't. If you sold it before, you're going to hit a higher capital gains tax. So you want to keep it at, usually it's like 15%. And it also depends on your annual salary. So if by chance you are not making any money this year and you have some stock that you want to sell and get some money for, you can do that right now and you're going to be in a lower tax bracket, which means you'll pay lower capital gains. So everything comes back to taxes. The other thing I want to mention that's important for accessing cash, and I don't recommend doing this, but I want to be clear that these are some options. Under the CARES Act, it allows you, if you have a 401k right now, and let's say you have $100,000 in your 401k, you are going to be allowed to borrow from that, borrow and or withdraw. If you withdraw some money from there, let's say you take $50,000 from there, you are not going to get taxed the 10% penalty.
Oh, wow. That's really big.
Yes, that's a kind of a big deal. So if you strategize, now you will be taxed on your income, but let's say right now you're actually not earning a lot of income. So you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. So if you take 50, it might not hurt you as much because you're like, well, I actually didn't earn that much this year. So you're allowed to take that down without the penalty. The other thing is you can put money back into that within a certain time period, and then you won't get taxed at all. So it literally is.
Oh, it's kind of like you're borrowing from your own money without any penalty.
Yes, but there's also a borrowing. This is the difference because you can borrow. Let me just explain. The difference is going to be that if you withdraw, you are actually selling those positions. You're selling $50,000 worth of stock, and you're taking the money out. When you borrow, which is also, that's the second part of this, when you borrow from it right now, you're allowed to borrow. So you leave the stock in there. The company itself is going to let you borrow, but you have to be employed with that company and that fiduciary has to allow you to have loans. The preference, my recommendation, if you are in the situation, is to do the loan because they're giving you 5 years. Yeah, giving you 5 years to pay it back. And you're not losing the positions in the stock because if you were to sell right now, you're selling low. So the lending part, if you just borrow from it, you're actually not messing with the stocks at all. The company is essentially just saying, we're going to let you borrow this because we have all your stock. Mm. You got it?
Got it. Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
And
makes
so sense. The 10% is removed. So this is a great alternative for people who have been impacted by COVID and have money in their retirement plans, but only if you really need it. Only if you really need it. Now, the lending part is I'm a little bit more flexible, I think, in recommending because you're not selling. Again, I don't want people to necessarily sell their positions because you'd be selling low, and most of those positions are going to go back up.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I know yesterday you and I were talking about how much or a lot of this new gig economy and how much those people are actually being hit right now because there's not a lot of access to any help. And our previous economy, well, you know, previous to COVID was moving towards that kind of economy. Like, we're going to start our own thing and, you know, side hustles and all of that. And we are seeing now how that didn't really help during this time. So you had some thoughts about that, and I wanted, because I know a lot of us in our community are all about gig economy, and you know, we don't really want to have jobs anymore. We all want to have gigs. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, unfortunately, they're pretty screwed, even though the policies are now saying that they're going to open up. I think that we will get some legislation that will start to move in a direction of having some kind of a financial protection system, including the unemployment. We've seen that it's moving in that direction. One of the things to make sure is that people who are freelancers can also have a Roth IRA. right? So you can open up a retirement account, and they would have been able, if they had put money into it this year, they could have been able to take some of that money out without a penalty, right? So there's that. Making sure that they are setting up their business as a way that it's truly a business and not just a side gig. Having a separate bank account, and then you can also take that, you can also pay yourself through payroll, even as a sole proprietor. And the reason now that we're seeing that that makes sense is because when you go to get these PPP loans, when you go to get any of this disaster relief, you need to be an employee of your, even if you're a sole proprietor, right? And so and you need to be able to show that you have income based on your, you know, whether it's your business number, your ITIN number, or whatever you're using to structure your company. You want to show that you've actually made money on that. So you, keeping the corporate business structure is really important. In the alternative, I think people are starting to look at, okay, maybe it's not the right move to just be doing this out here all alone. One of the next webinars we're going to be doing is actually on forming co-ops and sort of the strength in that, because as we see a lot of businesses start to crash, is there an opportunity to start having people collaborate in an agency style that's formed as a co-op? So there's again, these are not immediate answers, unfortunately, but they're things that you need to be thinking about. If you are a sole proprietor right now and you've gotten hit, you need to make sure, like, what am I doing next to get contracts or to get myself a job and maybe even transition? We had a webinar with Sabio LA, which is a great boot camp for designers, particularly for women and minorities who want to go into becoming a dev. Like, this is a job that's not going away. Tech is probably one of the strongest economies still. So figuring out how to add on additional skills to what you have going on is going to be really important during this time.
And the level of skills and seeing, like, the marketplace today and seeing, okay, what, you know, what can I learn today? What skill can I develop today that will help me in the next 10 years? And seeing, like, trends, and if it is tech, what part of tech, right?
That's right.
I saw, and I haven't looked into this, but I did see that I believe Harvard was doing free, free classes, correct, online. So yeah. I think that, you know, if people right now are, if you know you did have your side hustle and it's not there anymore for some reason, maybe take that time that you would have spent doing your side hustle and, you know, educate yourself in different things. And I think, like, even just educating yourself on how to, on financial literacy, I think it's so important today. You know, just to prepare yourself, because again, I just keep going back to this and I tell everybody, like, this will happen again in 15 years.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And something else is going to happen in your family. So the other thing is to make sure that you're thinking about life insurance right now. We had another webinar, and I'll send these to you so you can have access to them. But around, like, what do you need to be doing around power of attorney? You got parents, if you're taking care of elder people, if you're taking care of other people in your family, do people that you care about have powers of attorney? Do they have a will or a trust set up? You know, who's got sort of fiduciary duties? Like, there are things that are really important, and life insurance is one of them, right? So
now,
you know,
is life insurance right now, I mean, I haven't really looked at the market of life insurance. Is life insurance right now, like, an okay to buy life? Is there even, like, an okay time? Is it more expensive now because of what's happening? Or you have to go get a physical and all these things have to happen.
Well, so you don't always have to get a physical. Look, okay. This is the general rule. It's always cheaper the younger you are. Now you can all term insurance has now come online. We partner with Haven Life Insurance. It's a pretty great solution for someone in their 30s who's, like, healthy. Right. And so you can get term life insurance, sort of like, it's almost like emergency coverage. And that, most of the time, as long as you're fairly healthy, you won't need to go through the medical screening. It's underwritten already. And so that's great. Now, if you're older, absolutely, you're probably going to have to do the blood test. It's probably not going to happen right now. That takes a little bit longer. But if you already have insurance, that some of the things, making sure that your beneficiaries are up to date, make sure that you know who is the beneficiary on your wills, on your contracts. Remember, 401k accounts are contracts, so are life insurance plans. So they don't follow traditional rules. So those are the kinds of things that you want to be thinking about right now, just in terms of, like, because people might get sick, right? And there are things that could happen immediately that you want to make sure that you are covered for. So those are key things. And then I think in terms of just future planning, now is the time to, you know, like you said, Udemy's got plenty of classes online right now too, for like $13-14. I like bought a whole set of them. You can always learn. There's always something new to learn.
And also, I don't know if there are any other programs out there that people can take advantage of. You know, I don't know if you have maybe like a list or something that people can like go to and say, I can ask. I mean, I think every state is also very, very different. But I do know at the federal level, they are increasing unemployment by $600, correct? So on top of your state.
Yep.
But just, you know,
we have a guide. Yeah, we have a guide we put together.
Perfect. So we'll definitely share that on our, with our super mamas.
So thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and help. We will definitely link all your resources on, link back to your resources on our Super MS page. But thank you so, so much. This was very, very insightful. I don't know if you have any last minute questions.
No, I mean, I would just say whatever else you have for the Super Mamas out there, you know, I know that a lot of people are struggling and are worried, you know, they're worried for their finances.
Right.
I think just a reminder that this all will pass and then the economy will get back up and, you know, just we have to hold on tight right now. And I think what you said about just keeping your cash right now, it's important. There was a post that you put about, you know, stop paying your debt for a minute, you know, just pay whatever you can and just be very conservative with your expenses and with your cash, right?
Yes, absolutely. And let's, you know, let's do some kind of a, maybe we could do a live thing with you guys or your, and your members. I think that's also, people are looking for like, I have this particular question, you know, so I think.
Yeah, for sure. That, for sure.
Because I'm sure they're hearing a lot of the same things and, you know, we don't always know what confuses people or where we need to, you know, be better.
The specific questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Specific questions.
Like
sure.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ramona, and stay safe out there because you're in Brooklyn, and that's scary, girl.
Stay inside.
I know. I will. Thanks so much, y'all.
Bye. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter, also at _supermamas and in the face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and
see you next week.
Super Mamas!